Thanks. So this is a short story about the tunneling density of states of graphene. It seems that sort of one of the central themes of this workshop has become the gauge field that is, you can have either due to disorder or due to distortions of the lattice. And there seem to be rather different estimates around of how big this gauge field actually is in real life graphene. So maybe one way of going at it is to try to find experimental probes that can actually, that are actually sensitive to this gauge field. And to, in some sense, you can look at the story as one possible probe of this gauge field. So the work was done together with a postdoc. That's the picture that you find when you go to his website. And we collaborated on this together with Leo Glasman and Alex Kamenev at the University of Minnesota. So I'll spare you, given the fact that we're so far over time, I'll spare you the introduction on graphene. We've seen the tight binding Hamiltonian and the low energy Dirac Hamiltonian that comes out of that so many times by now that I think I can simply go over this and skip it. So the main motivation for this work comes from the fact that unlike more conventional two-dimensional electron systems, graphene is actually exposed at the surface. If you have conventional gallium arsenide heterostructures, then they are buried underneath the cap layer, and graphene is simply exposed at the surface, so that makes it directly accessible to various local probes. And moreover, since it is so directly accessible, also the spatial resolution of such probes is going to be higher because you're not limited by the thickness of the cap layer that is sitting on top of this two-dimensional electron system. And then you can investigate it, for example, either with a scanning single electron tunneling, single electron transistor, the way that Amir Jacobi is doing on all sorts of systems with great success. And alternatively, you can also think of STM-type measurements. And as far as I know, there will be a talk later in the program by Eva André that is reporting on such types of measurements. So, and one of the questions that I want to answer is whether this SDM, and in fact, in this talk, I will focus on STM-type measurements, on measurements of the local density of states. And the question that I would like to answer is to which degree such measurements can give you a probe of this fictitious gauge field that appears in the problem. So here are some actually unpublished experiments by Amir Jacobi on using the scanning single electron tunnel transistor, which measures the local compressibility. And actually earlier this week, Alan MacDonald was talking about the theoretical work that addresses this quantity. As I said, in this talk, I want to talk about the tunneling density of states, and I'll do address it theoretically within the framework of the Dirac equation. So this basically means that I don't want to look at the atomic details of graphene, but rather the tunneling density of states coarse-grained over some area that is large compared to the atomic distance. The lattice spacing of graphene. So if you do that, then, and you just to take the lowest order approximation, non-interacting electrons with a linear dispersion, then you find that the tunneling density of states simply ends up being linear in the energy away from the Fermi energy, simply reflecting the increasing radii or circumferences of this Dirac cone. Of course, it's known for quite a while that the tunneling density of states will be affected by electron-electron interactions. So if you make the assumption that you can work out the consequences of electron-electron interactions within perturbation theory, although the fine structure constant of graphene is no longer very small as in QED, but rather of the order of one, then you find that from the Fock diagram that you actually get a renormalization of the dispersion, logarithmic renormalization of the dispersion. At the same time, you find that the charge remains un-renormalized to lowest order. And if you then simply assume that in a tunneling measurement you are sensitive to this renormalized dispersion, then you find that the tunneling density of states also gets these logarithmic corrections. So if you want to know what this order does with the tunneling density of states, then you can either work in the original tight binding model, and you can add this order in various ways, either by adding random site energies, by adding random hopping matrix elements, or lattice defects, as we heard about yesterday. And there have been numerous work, and I only quote one here, that have been taking that approach. Alternatively, and now you can work out, of course, what all these types of disorder would do in the corresponding Dirac equation, simply by going from the tight binding description over to the Dirac equation. Alternatively, you can simply you can try to find from more general principles what general local operators would look like that are invariant under time reversal and would correspond to a decent disorder potential. And if you do this, and here I'm following work of McCann et al., then you find that the most general disorder that you can have is described by 10 real functions which have various matrix, are multiplying various basic matrices in the 4x4 Dirac space. You can have the unit matrix, that's a simple potential in the Dirac equation, and then you can have all sorts of more complicated terms. These matrices lambda and sigma are to lowest order simply Pauli matrices in the space of the space of the two Dirac points, or in the space of the AB sublattice. And anyway, so now if you want to have a more physical understanding of what these functions are mean, then you can basically classify them in this sort of a scheme. You can classify them according to whether they correspond to a scalar type potential in the Dirac equation, or whether they correspond to a fictitious gauge field type of term in the Dirac equation. And you can classify them according to whether they correspond to intra-valley scattering or inter-valley scattering. And you can just identify by looking at these matrices lambda and sigma which of the these functions U correspond to which type of contribution.
U is strain?
Pardon? U is not, no, U, this is just whatever the disorder is due to. This is just the parameterization of the disorder that you have in your system, and any one impurity that you would put into the system could actually contribute to various, give contributions to various of these functions U. So if you're looking at intervalley scattering, then the gauge field in some sense is abelian, and if you look at intervalley scattering, then in some sense again, it is. You can look at it as a non-abelian gauge field. So if you had smooth disorder, then the resulting all the intervalley scattering can be neglected, and then the resulting Hamiltonian would have a structure like this, where this is the fictitious vector potential, and that's sort of the random site energies. Random potential that originates from the random site energies. At first sight, one may be confused by the fact that that vector potentials are usually associated with time reversal breaking terms. They have a magnetic field associated with them. But of course, the way the system solves this is that the magnetic field just has opposite sides at the signs at the two Dirac points, and the Dirac points just map into each other under time reversal. Okay, so if you now look at what the tunneling density of states does on with weak disorder, imagine you have simply a single impurity, and we only look at the contribution to disorder now, then what happens is that an electron would tunnel into the graphene sheet, re-scatter back from the impurity, and that would interfere with the direct tunneling into the graphene layer. Now it turns out that this contribution actually is suppressed due to the chiral symmetry of Dirac fermions, and so the lowest order, the disorder in the weak disorder limit, disorder by itself does not modify the tunneling density of states. And that motivated us to go one step further and to look at the zero bias anomaly in the tunneling density of states, which arises due to both this order and electron-electron interaction, where the basic picture is that the electron not only scatters from the impurity, but also from the potential that is associated with the Friedel oscillations around the impurity. So there are several questions that you can have with regard to the zero bias anomaly. And the first question is, what is the fate of the zero bias anomaly as the Fermi energy actually approaches the Dirac point? After all, as the Fermi energy approaches the Dirac point, the wavelength of the Friedel oscillations diverge, and that should suppress the zero bias anomaly. On the other hand, the strength of the electron-electron interaction is increasing as you go closer to the Dirac point, because screening gets weaker and weaker, and there is a competition between these two effects. And one thing that you can try to work out is what's the result of this competition. And the other question then is whether the zero bias anomaly is actually in some way probing the fictitious gauge field.
So you're saying
it,
something squeezes the small radius within the impurity.
Right. So now what I'm doing is that I think about some sort of generic impurity, and that can give contributions to any one of these 10 functions U, and you can have contributions both to potential scattering and to this fictitious gauge field. And the question is whether you can somehow pick out, by doing just a tunneling experiment, whether you have...
Well, Friedel oscillations was got by Chiang and myself in the problem.
The Friedel oscillations. There you are. Don't worry. okay, so Friedel oscillations, as Valodia has just said, have been worked out in detail in the... we are closely following that work. So if you look at the Friedel oscillations directly, the induced variations in the density due to the impurity, then you find actually, again, due to the chiral symmetry, that they do not fall off as 1 over r squared in graphene, but rather as 1 over r cubed. And in order to see that, you have to take the Green's function one term further in a 1 over kr or 1 over pr expansion. So what that means is that in the terms of the zero bias anomaly, you in principle have two contributions, one that is coming from the Hartree potential associated with the Friedel oscillations, and another one that is coming from the Fock contribution. And just as was worked out by Shayanov and Falco in the context of the corrections to interaction corrections to the conductivity, it's only the Fock contribution that contributes to leading order because of this fact that the Friedel oscillations in the density are actually decaying faster than in a conventional two-dimensional electron system.
I'm confused. This gauge field comes because of local distortion
of local
bonds.
Right.
Impurity distorts them. If you have impurity on the top of your graphene sheet, it seems to be interaction is only Coulomb-like interaction. Would it distort it?
No, so it depends on what you, I guess you can imagine all sorts of impurities. Some impurities may do exactly what you're saying. Others may have some contribution that do actually modify the tunneling amplitude between neighboring.
You can see or add that, in a sense. So
impurity which sits asymmetrically in the unit cell straight on the
right.
To break symmetry locally.
Right. So, and...
It has to be losing the shift.
Right. Okay, so you can then go and work this out following older work that has been done for the conventional two-dimensional electron system and taking appropriate modifications, which again follow closely the work of Chernoff and Falco. And you just do this, and let me just use the remaining time to give you some of the results that one gets out of this calculation. So. Let's first look at the global tunneling density of states. So we assume that we have some finite density of impurities, and we average over the position of the impurities. And then you find that from this Fock term, you do get a correction to the tunneling density of states, which is logarithmic as a function of the tunneling energy, omega, just as in the conventional two-dimensional electron system. The first question that we can answer from this expression now is how strong is this zero bias anomaly as one approaches the Fermi energy? And what if you take into account that the density of states is linear in the energy or linear in the Fermi momentum of the Dirac fermions, then you find that this prefactor actually is independent of the Fermi energy. So the relative strength of this zero bias anomaly is actually independent of the Fermi energy and remains important all the way down, as long as you're allowed to do this, all the way down to the Dirac point, despite the fact that the wavelength of the Friedel oscillations becomes bigger and bigger as you approach the Dirac point.
This is all in the continuum, right?
Pardon? This is all in the continuum. So that's what I said earlier, that we're looking at the tunneling density of states averaged over sort of the atomic details of the system.
And another thing is actually, it's probably better, so we kind of belong to the question session, but you know, you're systematically putting disorder into your system. Suppose I put slightly positive or negatively charged particles, fine, forget about the dispersion gauge field. You're systematically piling up states away to the left or to the right from the chemical potential, even if initially you started at the Dirac point. The density of states will not be symmetric.
Symmetric about what?
About the energy. Density of states, you know, you start with a hump that actually piles up mm-hmm. to the right from zero. The density of states will not be symmetric. Mm-hmm. What happens in these kind of calculations is that this is some CPA stuff, right? You just basically subtracted the tau 3 part and actually ignore the
I'm not sure that it's actually in some sense even simpler than CPA. We assume that we are working in the ballistic regime, and we actually assume that there's essentially a single very low density of impurity, so that the dominant contribution comes from reflections from a single impurity.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about this either at the question.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a result for free theory or interactive theory?
This is including interactions.
Where is the interaction strength?
The usual thing that the electron charge drops out of the screened interaction.
When?
I hope no. It's actually since it's Fock, it turns out to be negative. Right? I'll have. But it's the screened interaction. If you neglect the one against pi times v. Then it ends up being just 1 over the density of states. So that's the global density of states. If you look locally, then again to lowest order, the results are very similar as in a conventional two-dimensional electron system, as one would expect. The deviation in the local tunneling density of states as a function of distance R from the impurity fault of is 1 over R squared. And if you have potential disorder, then this is what the result that you get. So this would be this U0 or UZZ, just the potential in the Dirac equation that may be even or odd with respect to the AB sublattices. If you assume that you just have a local contribution, local an impurity that has a local term that corresponds to one of these fictitious gauge fields, the abelian version, then actually, you find very similar results. But one thing that is actually new is that in this case, you'll have an angular dependence as you move with your tunneling tip around the impurity. There'll be an angular dependence on the angle where you are around the impurity, and depending on which of the components you have, this can either give you a sine squared contribution or a cosine squared contribution if you have this UZY, and you'll get an analogous angular dependencies for the non-abelian gauge field. So the one of the differences between just ordinary potential disorder and the disorder that is described in terms of this fictitious gauge field is that one of them gives you a angular independent correction to the tunneling density of stage zero bias anomaly, and the other one gives you, the gauge field gives you an angular dependent correction to the tunneling density of stage.
Why do you call it zero bias anomaly? There is no energy dependence here.
No, but it's if you integrate this of R, then you get the log, and the omega dependence comes in from the cutoff.
You do it for one single impurity. So what you study is just the oscillations of the fundamental stable states around the spectrum.
Except that that's not oscillations. It's since it's the combined effect of interactions and disorder. It's not oscillations. There is a range over which it's actually just falling off uniformly without oscillations. But and the integral of this is over R is just giving you this logarithmic factor. That would require some averaging over disorder. Here there's only a single impurity now, and we're looking at the corrections to the tunneling density of states as you go away from the position of the impurity. Okay. And
what's the physical origin of picking out a special direction?
Right. That's the next slide. So the reason that you have these gauge field times of terms is actually that you have random hopping amplitudes along certain bonds, and this random hopping does actually pick out a certain direction in real space. And if I didn't get my signs wrong, then the way it works is that imagine that this bond is slightly different from all the other bonds, then the pattern is you move around with your tunneling tip, as you move around this impurity, has the following feature, that this anomaly is particularly large in the direction of the bond. The correction is particularly large along the direction of the bond, and it is zero perpendicular to the bond. So that really picks out the special direction.
But if you do averaging or disorder, this will vanish.
Right. So this is something you have to look at. You have to look at a particular impurity, and
a particular impurity would produce an even stronger effect. Because the same structure of the density metric,
yes,
will persist as the structure of the defect in the first order in the perturbation. So the density of states around the impurity will carry all the information about symmetry breaking produced by the impurity.
Yes.
If you start doing the real STM, you will see that for example, the tunneling to A sites and B sites,
yes,
will have different strengths and oscillate right with KF and maybe be anisotropic depending on what kind of disorder it is.
So first of all, that's why I was saying that I actually look at smooth. It's the smooth tunneling density of states, smooth over atomic details. And
that means you're talking about smooth disorder like that, or
No. You take your STM picture and then you smooth. Of course, there will be some oscillations that are simply coming from the atomic structure or from things that are related to KF type oscillations, and you smooth them out, and then you look at the
very flat tip to see that.
If you can either use a very flat tip, or alternatively, to make your data worse than they are is probably easier than to make them better. So you just average your data over you average your data over certain regions, right?
So the impurity can be more like a broadband expansion, bigger than.
I don't think the nature of the impurity is not the size of the impurity is not the point. It's the point is that you want to measure your tunneling density of states averaged over some region that is large compared to the atomic, the lattice spacing of graphene. Okay. So that's basically the end of it, and I think I more or less stayed within time. So there, we looked at the zero bias anomaly in the tunneling density of states that arises from combined effects of interactions and disorder, as in the work on the interaction correction. So the conductivity, it originates from the Fock contribution alone. The relative strength of this is actually independent of the degree of doping, despite the fact that the periodicity of the Friedel oscillation increases as you get closer and closer to the Dirac point. And finally, the angular dependence of the tunneling density of states around an impurity should be a signature to which degree this impurity is actually associated with an fictitious gauge field. Thanks.
I have a comment, but I don't know. Am I allowed to go to the blackboard?
Yes.
Yes. Sure.
You know, the best
so warm.
Yeah, you cannot touch it.
Okay, while you arrive, we'll listen to other questions.
So, no, I think actually, I can do that. So two comments about this. Basically, if you take a V-shaped density of states, this is actually the lesson we learned from the GBA, you put in the impurity scattering, never mind whether it's a strong or weak impurity. That's not about the board, but impurities technically will be atoms of a certain kind. You know, the story you're putting in is not a random white noise, it's a zero, it will be systematic atom. What we'll be producing is that corrections to the density of space, say, broadly speaking, something like it will be bumped, and the position of this energy will be so one way it will forgive me but more.
What's U?
That U is a pure potential. I'm looking at the pure potential. Then you start following them up, it's a standard textbook example of the pure dendrites in the semiconductors. What will happen is there will be broad bumps in here, and of course it will extend. But the center of the impurity band as a draw, just like in the dome semiconductor, will be off center. Now, the way basically the standard calculation of the CPA and other things happen is that you're saying that in your propagator, whatever you're saying, it only goes to the harmonic of well by gamma, and gamma self energy basically is something like zeros proportional to zeros. Zero component of the kinetic. What's often skipped is actually there is a T3, which is because basically in the disorder between T3 and normalized chemical potential, but it's not true because in the vicinity of resonance, T3 has a very sharp energy and frequency. This is standard, like I think it's a mistake actually, but it's getting propagated from one calculation to another one. This one, I don't want to talk too much, but basically...
But we're not doing CPA, so I think that...
Basically, if you put in impurities, which have the positive sign of the potential, negative sign of the potential,
yes,
and you start from the particle called kinetic case, there, graphene is a particle called kinetic. You're putting impurities in,
yes,
your system, net system, is not particle called kinetic.
Yeah.
That's my question. Yeah. So, hence, talk about zero bias anomaly is misnomer.
Ooh, I'm not sure that I follow that. I mean, first of all, I mean, we do work at finite doping anyway, right? We're not working at the Dirac point. We're working at finite doping, and the anomaly is actually happening at the Fermi energy away from the Dirac point. So it's not a Dirac anomally. This is a...
The finite doping density of states will have fine. Eventually, we'll recover some V-shaped things, but the density of states will have a finite density. But I'm just saying that an impurity will come to the
end. So what is about
this? Huh?
About this. Whatever you draw by smoothing, that
right,
is about this level of...
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying you bring in the sign, certain sign of impurity here. Your net system, total system, is not particle force kinetic.
No, but it's not particle. I'm not sure that I understand.
It's not particle force symmetric
feature,
because it's not Fermi one.
You can talk about the feature and density of state, but it doesn't have to be or will not be at zero by.
What's
zero bias? What does
zero bias in the damage?
I think we can have a discussion.
Yeah. I don't think that I agree.
Fine. Then
let's talk about it later.
You exhausted. One more question. All right.
Let's talk about
maybe
it.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I have a question to the discussion of the R dependence of UX set and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It scales like 1 over R squared. I know that before. You also showed that the free data relation scale like 1 over R cubed and so on. Can
right.
You understand what is how the induced magnetic or spin density or the induced charge density is related to this 1 over R squared?
No, so that. So there's no contribution to this coming from the Hartree potential that is associated with the Friedel oscillations, okay? Because the Friedel oscillations are decaying like 1 over R cubed. But still, the Fock contribution does not suffer from this problem that the chirality prevents it or suppresses it. And that's why the Fock contribution still gives the conventional result. And the conventional result is the 1 over r squared dependence.
And symmetry breaking contributions to the breaking density metric is between like 1 and 1 squared, but the density between up to like 1 and 1 cubed. So if you would talk about the Kakavai interaction, it would be usual for two-dimensional system. It'd be like 1 over r squared, because right. What you do, replace one half by a different half, you replace one carbon by a different half. This way you write all the symmetries longer, and to spin that, it will be Delhi and AB sine custom metric. Therefore, this spin density matrix created essentially that you like 1 over r squared.
You got two terms, okay, at least gauge field,
right.
Also potential dynamics. You also use this fancy non abelian abelian.
Never mind.
Okay, yeah, I don't.
but
an interesting question, is any physical consequence how we can distinguish, say, between random quasi-magnetic fields, random potential fields, or random abelian non abelian?
Okay, no, but I think that's the point that I'm trying to make. But I'm doing it only at the level of a single impurity. The single impurity will be parameterized by some combination of these functions u, these 10 different functions u. Some of them correspond to a sort of local fictitious gauge field, and some others will correspond to a local disorder potential.
Yeah, so
the difference is that if it's only potential disorder, then it's going to be isotropic in the tunneling density of states as you move around the impurity. If you're dealing with a fictitious gauge field, it's going to have this sine squared, this dipole-like structure as you move around the gauge field.
Abelian or non-abelian?
It doesn't matter. But maybe I didn't say it very clearly. Both of them, whether abelian or non-abelian, both of them produce this angular dependence of the tunneling density of states. Okay? So it's really just gauge field versus potential scattering, but there is no distinction between abelian and non-abelian.
Is there any difference with high TC in this respect? Because
what's the?
It also produces these funny patterns.
Okay, then I should. I'll probably learn about it later.
I exhausted my time.
So. Another question?
Well, it was probably already answered, but your Friedel oscillations don't seem to depend on the type of your impurity potential, or you have at least 10 different impurities. Potentials and your Friedel oscillations don't depend on them, on the type. I mean.
On the type, no, they don't. And formally, imagine. So basically, the point is that the Green's function in real space, if you forget this to lowest order, involves a projector on one of the chiralities. And then the Friedel oscillation is this G, the disorder times G. And so basically what happens if you plug this in is it's a projector times u times projector of in the opposite direction. And since it's under a trace, you just multiply two projectors that are orthogonal to each other and just kill it, completely independent of what kind of disorder potential you have in between. So that's a completely general statement, that irrespective of the type of disorder, the Friedel oscillations are, the 1 over r squared contributions to Friedel oscillations is killed. Okay.
That's done. Thank you very much.